Let's go ahead and begin. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for December 17th, 2014. Can we have the roll call, please?
Bennett, Burt, Hafler.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Rafferty.
Here.
Stoltenberg.
Here.
Wendland.
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minutes as submitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the last meeting, November 19, 2014. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So good evening again. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for December 17th, the last P&Z meeting for the year. So we are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to hear matters relative to planning and zoning, plats, replats, zoning matters. So if you have a case that you want to provide input, there's a podium to my right and your left back there. At the appropriate time, we will acknowledge the audience, and if you could step back and give your name and provide the input relative to the case, we would appreciate that. So with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, the first case before us tonight deals with the preliminary plat of Evers Summit. We'd seen this before, but there have been some redesigns submitted. South of 53rd Avenue, you have Hopewell Creek running through the area, and here are the springs right here of Bettendorf, the gated apartment community. Essentially, this is looking north. This is Hopewell Creek running through. This is the area as you see it from looking from east to west. Looking directly into the property, you've got a wooded area here and an area that goes further back that is intended to support the structures as they've been proposed for this particular project. This is the initial preliminary plat, and it does show the meander of Hopewell Creek as it empties into Crow Creek. The original design had a 42nd unit right there that has since been removed. We also have the street, which is further removed to the west because the petitioner could not get additional land acquisition from the adjoining property owner over here. We also have these snow areas that are going to be used for snow storage for this project, so that once these drives are all plowed, there will be a means of storing that snow in another locale. This is the updated plan showing that the detention area as well has been moved out of any of the backyards of any of these lots that are adjoining it. We also have the roadway with a great deal more right-of-way on this side, which the city will control. The right-of-way width here, I believe, is 57 feet. Typically, we get 52 feet for right-of-way. This is the grading plan showing the units right here, here, and here. Here's the detention area. And staff, in reviewing this, recommends approval with those conditions that were listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I have one question.
Sam.
Greg, you talked about the area for snow storage. The two adjoining lots, now farther to the
south.
And
then we have,
yeah, right there. Is there an easement there, or is there access to get snow into that area without going through people's property?
There's a very small width right here. I would say it's 10 feet or less.
So while I think that the snow storage area is an excellent idea in light of all the driveways and pavement, the access to it doesn't look very realistic. May I call him Mr. Connors, Mr. Chairman?
You're looking at a 10-foot width from edge of driveway to edge of driveway. Actually, between structures, you've got significantly greater distance there.
Okay.
So provided the driveways are designed such that vehicles can get on them and push snow over, that should be adequate.
And to that point, Bill, is there going to be a suppressed curb there? Is that going to be noted so you'll have a way to not bump over the curb and drive back and dump it? You mean, to Ann's point, I agree that great idea. I love the concept, but now let's make sure it's practical and going to work.
Yeah, it should be a rollover curb, which is just like any other comparable curb in a residential neighborhood, is that little rollover that you have to get in your driveway. It shouldn't be a substantial curb.
And will that, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Will that parkway area then between there and the area be concreted or something so you can drive into it? Because you can't drive into the grass and push snow back.
That's something we can talk to the developer about.
Okay, are they here? I see them.
Yep.
We'll ask them. Anyone else from the commission?
I just would like to note that there are actually six snow storage areas on the site. Or just looks to be about in between each
right.
major structure.
Right.
So.
And were some of those fire truck turnaround points or city service? Yeah. And does that pose a problem if they're loaded with snow?
Well, they can push the snow through there. I think the point is that there's significant green space beyond that to where snow can be pushed.
I see you nodding. Okay, you're okay with
yeah.
it. Okay.
Yeah. We've discussed that.
Questions from the commission?
I guess just the operation of this. If I own, this is ownership property, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if I own one of the properties that is immediately adjacent to a snow storage area, it appears to me that there's a likelihood there's going to be vehicles driving across my property to move the snow.
They should be able to push the snow in between.
Okay.
And I guess what they're really doing is they're taking it and loading it potentially.
And then hauling it.
Hauling it and then pushing or dropping it in
uh-huh.
to these areas.
My the reason for asking is if, as a property owner, if somebody was going to be engaging in that type of activity, I would want to know that ahead of time before I buy the property. So to me, it seems
you want to note it on the plat
right.
with a note as well
right.
of what we've already got here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
would that be part of an association cost? Okay. And is that street private or
public?
So that's just the snow from the driveways?
Staff's concern was because there's so much driveway on the west side of Panda Drive that the city will come through and will plow the snow off, and we wanted to make sure that each individual homeowner didn't come back with their snowblower and blow it right back in the street. Of course, that's illegal, and it also defeats the purpose of plowing the snow.
Okay.
So, Bill, will the city be depositing the snow in the snow storage areas when they, how will the snow get there?
I appreciate that, Bill. Thank you. That's actually a very good question and probably one that needs to be answered. I probably defer that one to the developer.
Okay.
Good evening, Greg Jaeger, an attorney with the Pasternak firm, 300 block West 3rd Street in Davenport here on behalf of Mr. Pandit. Rad Pandit is here in the audience this evening and can address things more specifically for you. The matter tonight is preliminary plat. The question of snow storage was something that was very important to the council as well and was one of the things that sort of hung this up when it got in front of the council. And Mr. Pandit was asked to talk to the neighbor to the east to see if there was a way to acquire some extra ground so that you'd have a place to shovel the snow. Unfortunately, he was not able to work anything out with the neighbor to the east. The ground still is amenable for development. It's going to be a challenging project, but it's still amenable for development. As it relates to the snow specifically, a homeowners association will be established with restrictive covenants that will, in essence, be required to take care of all of the snow removal. Our visioning of this is that the city will come through and do the large snow plowing with their larger units, go through the street, make the turnaround, and come back. And then the private contractor will then come and take the snow out of the driveways, load them into the respective vehicles, and take it to the various dumping sites. Just talking to Mr. Pandit a moment ago, he's amenable to putting concrete pads down to make the transport easier, but that's also something that might have adverse impact on the adjoining properties. So our thought in that respect will be that we may end up waiting to see how the properties start to develop to determine whether it becomes a problem. If you have ruts that can't be fixed and continue, then maybe you do have to put some sort of a permanent solution in. Frozen ground, occasional snow, lighter vehicles, maybe not as necessary. But our thought, to answer the question, is that the city will do the gross plowing, get it out of the street, and then the private contractor will do the fine tuning and will be responsible for hauling it to the dump sites.
Okay, I'm with the concept, Gregory, what you're describing, but I guess from a practical standpoint, unless the ground is frozen and you have a concrete pad to get to, effectively you can't get in and dump the snow. Otherwise, to your point, you'll rut in and dig in and nothing will get dumped.
Rad indicated a moment ago that he's willing to consider concreting the area. I'm just not sure from a marketing standpoint it's great to have a concrete pad sitting next to your condo. So we understand the concern and we will try to address the concern as we do the development. We're not sure that what the optimum solution is, but we understand the concern.
Yeah, I'm not even suggesting all the way back on the lot, but at least enough of approach that you can get it in, push it back, and continue to push it back. If you you can't go from curb to green and then hope to be able to dump the snow. So if we can address that somehow.
Some of it's ultimately going to depend on the weight of the vehicle and what you're doing to move the snow.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I had another question. For the folks in the city, I guess, parking on the street. What's the rule for parking on this street, Greg?
That's going to be up to the city council, how they want to permit it or not. And I imagine that Public Works will have the final say in determining that. It looks like it's going to be just the one side from because of you so many entries here.
Mm-hmm.
It's impractical to have any parking along here at all. So that's probably where you're going to have your restriction, and it'll just be simply be on the one side.
Normally, a 31-foot wide back-to-back residential street allows parking on both sides. To Greg's point, it's going to be virtually impossible to have any on-street parking on the west side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions on the part of the commission? So on the plat bill, then, it says, note, on-street parking to be regulated by city ordinance. Would that city ordinance be determined as part of the city council approval?
Well, this is, and this is a little bit of a unique project. This is the preliminary plat. They need to come back with a site development plan and a final plat. And the city attorney and I have been talking that we want to get a development agreement put together at the same time that the final plat comes through. So as we continue to work through what may be some issues with this project, we'll incorporate that into a development agreement that will come through with the final plat.
And that's my other question. It's got the reference, refer to development agreement, and that's what you're referencing there. Okay, great. Anyone else in the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Red,
Ladies and gentlemen, Rad Pandit, Bendorf, Iowa. I just want to reiterate the fact that the snow removal, it doesn't show there quite right because it's the plat is, you know, quite small, but there will be green space between each driveways. Actually, you have a right on the curve of the street, Pandit Drive, you have 4 foot sidewalk. And then you have driveway. And between each driveway, there will be 6 units on one building. Between each building, there is at least 20 foot green space. And then between each driveway, there is also, I think it's 4 or 6 foot green space. So there's plenty of room there. And then if we need more storage, there is a curb cut on the west side of 53rd. So if there is a really big snowstorm, we can even take the snow out and then dump it on the back of the development on the west side. And then between Pandit Drive and then the east property line to the east, there is 25 feet green space. So you can push as much snow as you want to. It's going to be a little bit slopery. It's going to be 2.5 foot to 3 foot to one, but you can always push snow over there. So you have 25 foot of space in the east from the Pandit Drive, and then plus all the what I mentioned on the driveways also. I just want to reiterate that fact.
Okay, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Seeing none, I'll return to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve case number 14-093, subject to the staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-093, subject to staff recommendations, and that would, just for clarification, also include the incorporation of the development agreement as described by Bill and Christine. So, all right, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-093 passes. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the next case involves a final plat of this parcel and dividing it into two pieces. It's located south of Central Avenue and east of 18th Street. This is a subdivision, Sunset Place subdivision, that is pretty much surrounding the perimeter, and almost all of these lots here are at least 9,900 square feet. The parcel in question is right here, and the petitioner is requesting the division of those two lots, essentially. And the one lot would be 18,425 square feet. The second lot here is 18,395 square feet. So they're way and above what is existing throughout the neighborhood. The house here will remain, but this garage will be torn down, and then another structure is anticipated to be built on this lot. Staff in reviewing this proposal recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Very straightforward.
Yeah. Greg, just clarification, when you say structure, it would be another buildable?
It would be a single family home.
Great, okay. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Seeing none, I'd return to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 14-094, subject to staff recommendations. Second.
Okay. Lisa's going to figure that one out. We have a motion and a second to approve case 14-094, subject to the staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-094 is approved. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this is a case that you saw last month, looking at 931 State Street. An existing structure that one time was a gas station and then housed a used car lot, and that non-conforming use of a used car lot has since been dormant for more than a year, so that it no longer can return. What we're looking at are lots 2, 3, and 1/2 of the fourth lot. in this subdivision here is basically housing the parcel here, and I think it was Drill's addition was the subdivision. What you have is the present structure being removed, and fill will be placed back in this area here, and of course this awning will be taken out. Floodplain back here will be filled right where these utility poles run, is approximately where that boundary is for the south boundary, and that means this area back here will be filled to accommodate the structure. The design has changed from what we saw last time when we saw the six islands pointing north and south. Now we have four islands pointing east and west for better traffic flow to go back out to the one-way street, State Street. Also, we want to acknowledge again that a portion of this parcel is being taken as part of right-of-way for the State Street construction. We've also seen that the petitioner has taken the dumpster and located it in a less noticeable area. It was up here at one time. And in looking at the site plan, the tree count was met, and looking at the proposal that we have before us now is far more tenable than what we had last time. Staff would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? First, I would say nice job on the redo. Yes. And well worth the effort, because last time it didn't feel good, and this one feels much better. So for all those involved, nice job. Thank you for that. Much improved. Dumpster's in a great place relative to before. The flow, the tanker, everything seems to flow much better. A couple of questions. One, the billboard sign that's out there, Greg, it kind of shows up on that plat there as, I don't know, whose is that? Is that on this property or the one adjacent?
I believe that the rights of ownership belong to the adjoining property.
It's on an adjoining property.
To the west?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it looks like it kind of goes over the line the way it's drawn there, but not. Okay, so that was one question.
Mr. Chairman, can I just piggyback on that issue? Because of that billboard and the obstruction for visibility as people come down State Street, what are the signage plans? Is there going to be signage on State Street?
Signage is right.
It's intended for directly adjacent to the billboard, so that
would
be mm-hmm. And would that be a monument sign or a pole sign there, Bill?
Pylon.
Okay.
You have to get up high enough to get anybody's attention.
Greg, one other question. I just didn't know what it was on your platted diagram that showed the lots from the original plat. That little loop, if you will, at the bottom of the lots at the, it would be the north end, that almost looks like a street or, is that any kind of street or easement?
I think at one time it was intended to be a drive area that went back there, and I think it may have been abandoned from or vacated from what it was. You see plenty of these in the city through many different subdivisions, and we from time to time vacate those or have the property owners take them, and I can't remember where I saw it, but I believe that has been vacated back there.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you see the 10-foot width, it probably indicates it was intended for an alley.
Alleyway. Okay.
And right now it pretty much, for the flood protection mechanism, there's something back here, but the pathway that is back here is actually on this side of the property line on the south side, so that it, the means of access is not being inhibited.
One of the notes on the referenced stormwater detention. Stormwater will not be needed because the site is closely proximate to the Mississippi River. And my question then was, so is this direct runoff? And well, I thought they were going to be doing some filling in the back. So will this site drain with the building in the back towards the river?
Part of it is going to drain from the front here toward the street. And it's already impervious in that area. The amount of surface added in the back, I believe anything from this part of the building will drain back toward the river.
Okay. All right, that's the only questions I had. No others on the commission. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Seeing none, I'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 14-087, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-087, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-087 is approved. And again, thank you for the hard work to make that the right kind of development.
The next proposal, Mr. Chairman, is a site that once had a restaurant located on it. You can see in the aerial photo, this area pretty much in its entirety is encased in the 100-year floodplain. And shown on the 100-year flood map, you can see in orange here where approximately the parcel is located that would house the proposed nail salon. This area here is the impervious surface that existed at the time that the restaurant was in place. And right now, this area is being excavated. There's fill being placed in. A good deal of this is going to be raised out of the 100-year floodplain area. And this whole area, basically the property lines are outlined in green, but essentially the front two-thirds of this will be raised up out of the 100-year flood area. This is the demolition plan. One time showed the building and then also concrete, many of the other things that were once here associated with the restaurant that are no longer there, that have been removed. Here's the site plan, means of entry here, and this is the parking lot. You have your detention area over here, which that area, along with an existing storm sewer line, will be brought back through this area and then brought back into this pond where it will drain in that area. And this is the building outline right here, 4,800 square feet. And the tree count was met throughout the area. Staff, in looking at this proposal, would make a recommendation for approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a couple. Greg, can you tell me, like, how much are they adding? How much are they building to raise this out of the floodplain? How many feet? The reason I'm asking is I'm concerned about the house that's in the adjoining
This is going to remain in the floodplain, but essentially this area right here is going to be raised out of that area. This parking lot right here will be still be in the 100-year flood, but the remaining, the building itself will be raised, and then everything from this point on over here, including the house, will still remain in that 100-year flood area.
Okay. So the access to the house will, of course, will be through this property.
And the owner of this area here are one and the same.
Oh, okay.
But they're two separate parcels.
Yes.
What is the impact? Is there an impact on raising this property on that on the parcel that where the house sits?
We've seen this done in the industrial areas. You would essentially, the runoff is being collected from this area that is raised here, and it is being directed back in this direction. So it's being collected. Basically, the engineer on the project has to assure us that the area that has been raised is taking account of that water and then taking it back in this direction away from that parcel. At one time, the design was for that water to be coming out of the pond and coming out of this additional pipe over here. But since we had a talk with the engineer, we're taking and trying to account for all the stormwater to be brought back here away from that house.
I understand that. I guess I'm more interested in the event of a flood. Are we going to make the situation?
I'll let Mr. Connors answer that.
The floodwaters that affect this property come from Duck Creek. If you're looking at the relatively minimal amount of area that's filled, and let's look at how this structure is going to be constructed. The structure is going to be constructed with partial foundation walls. The finished floor is going to be elevated, but the floodwater is going to be able to fill the under area of the building, which is allowable by our flood regulations. But the little bit of fill that's going in here is going to be just a drop in the bucket compared to the water that comes down Duck Creek. Mm-hmm. So my opinion is it's going to have absolutely zero impact on that house if we have flood conditions.
Well, that was my concern, is you've got the Kimberley that's raised,
yep,
essentially like a dam, and you have this area that is actually a relief area for Duck Creek. And now you're taking that some of that relief area out, and that house is sitting in the only spot that's low. And so my concern was, if we approve this, that we're going to make situations there much worse than it would be normally. And that's,
yeah,
if everything we're doing is minimal as far as that, then I guess I'm all right with this.
Situation for that house is dire, and it's going to remain dire.
All right.
And related to that, one of the things I noted, and it kind of surprised me, I looked at it, but the proposed pond, if you look at the top of water elevation at 608, bottom elevation 598, so is it only going to be, if I'm doing my math right, about a 10-foot deep pond? But that'll offset.
You're talking about the one in the back?
Yes.
That's basically just a reflecting pond that he's putting in for a water feature.
Oh, because I had understood Greg to say that the water from the building site would be channeled back to the pond.
It will, but all of that rear pond is going to be in the 100-year floodplain, so it really can't be considered detention.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, and you mentioned, Bill, the design of the building. I looked at that. So is it essentially set up for a lower-level garage then?
Regulations will allow them to use that for storage.
I saw a number of garage, it looks like four garage type doors on that rear elevation.
Yeah. We also asked them to make some flow through provisions because that is a FEMA requirement.
Okay.
And then is that like a deck on the back?
That's going to be,
like
it, I think,
like a walk,
what they call a balcony. Yeah.
Oh.
This is set up right now for a single user business, is that what that's set up for?
Well, he has indicated that he wants to put a nail salon in the portion of it. He said that he owns a sewer routing company that would, he'd like to have the office there, and he's got another suite. I don't know if you've got anybody intended for that or not. Not at this time.
Okay. So it'll be multiple users, and it,
yeah,
looked like we had plenty of parking in this location. Okay. Anyone else from the commission? Anyone else or anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve case 14-095, subject to the recommendations from staff.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 14-095, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 14-095 is approved. And I think that puts you on deck, Bill.
Subsequent to your last meeting, the City Council did approve the plat and site development plan for the I-74 Technology Park. The site development plan for the storage building addition at 2395 Spruce Hills Drive, Teske Benton Garden site. And last night they had the public hearing and first reading of the U of I credit union up on 53rd and Falcon, and that was approved. We did hold the Quickstar one cycle because their representative's wife was due, and he thought he was going to have a conflict. So we're going to bring that forward in January, along with the resolution for the traffic signal at Falcon and 53rd. Thank you very much for your continued work. It's been an interesting year. In the 18 years I've been here, I think we've looked at things multiple times more this year than any other year we've ever done it. Ann and Paul, you can probably attest to that. So, we appreciate all the work that you do, and as always, your contribution far exceeds your compensation.
Everybody's getting 100% pay increase for next year. Great. And to return the compliment to staff as well, you guys have done a great job. I think an example of it was today with the mm-hmm. redesign of the gas station, something that didn't feel good to anybody when we first looked at it, and appropriately so. And I think the result is good for everybody. So that kind of dedication to go back and look at it again, and your efforts is greatly appreciated as well. So anything else for the good of the order?
Not at all. Happy holidays.
Yeah, and I'm going to say Merry Christmas officially and Happy Hanukkah or whatever's appropriate for your given faith. So with that, we are adjourned. Okay.